The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So today I wanted to talk about, maybe I'll say this. Often, probably most often, when I'm teaching happy hour, I talk about some of the benefits that practicing loving kindness can bring. And even recently, I talked about how when we do happy hour, when we do loving kindness practice, we can make a distinction between different types of potential outcomes. I'll use this kind of language, outcomes, consequences, benefits. And that is, there's that feeling of warm-heartedness and or there's a feeling of well-being. And of course, these are really interrelated and may even be the same thing, but maybe in some ways it makes sense to separate them. So this idea that we practice loving kindness for a particular reason. What if we just put that all aside? What if we would put aside this idea that we're practicing loving kindness for an outcome, for a particular benefit, because we want to see something? Kind of instead of this instrumental use, this use of loving kindness practice as a tool which can support us, which I'm a big fan of and practice myself sometimes. But what if we don't do that? What if we practice loving kindness just to practice loving kindness? What if instead of this idea that we have to get somewhere else and we have to make something happen, what if instead our practice is an expression, an opportunity for something beautiful inside of us to shine, some capacity that we all have to be expressed, to be shared, to be radiated in some kind of way? And that's the only reason, just to allow this aspect of our experience to be relevant or to be shared with others. Some of you know that there's often this loving kindness is part of a group of, I'll use this word Brahma Viharas. Some of you know this, that Brahma Vihara is a Pali word, and we can separate it into two parts, Brahma and Vihara. Brahma can get translated so many different ways, the divine, heavenly, sublime, or just Brahma, who was a god at the time when the teachings of the Buddha, the Brahmanical, the dominant religion at the time, had Brahma as one of their higher gods, if not the highest god. So that's the first part of the word. And then the second part of Brahma Vihara is Vihara. And Vihara can also be translated in a number of different ways, but one way is dwelling or abiding. So in some ways, sometimes Brahma Vihara is understood as like dwelling with the gods or abiding in the divine. So what would it be like if we considered our loving kindness practice as more of a dwelling, as more of an abiding, as opposed to some tool that's going to help us get somewhere? It's an opportunity for us to tap into, to maybe take care of and pay attention to something that's already inside of us. Like, we don't have to get anywhere else. we practice as a way that just allows us to touch into, to maybe the key word here is allow. It's more of an allowing than a doing. So maybe we practice just abiding in the delight that happens when there's the letting go of trying to be somewhere or go somewhere or get something. The sense of spaciousness that happens when we're acknowledging, like, yeah, I have everything that I need. The sense of ease. Can we dwell in that? Can we abide in the, maybe it's a quiet little sense of ease when we tap into this capacity that we have. Just for the sake of tapping into that capacity. Just for the sake of resting there, abiding there. For no other reason. What is that like, to consider loving kindness as a way to, as a dwelling, as opposed to a tool or something that we might do to help us get somewhere else? And so, to be sure, just because we say these words, let's abide or dwell in loving kindness, doesn't mean that we can immediately drop into or access that space. So we can do some practices to help create the conditions in which it makes it easier for us to drop into that space, easier for us to express this warm-heartedness, for us to express this care and connection with others, for us to express this care and connection with ourselves. And so part of the conditions that we can create that allows us to abide, maybe in the same way that maybe sometimes we have to walk a little distance before we get to that cozy little cabin in the woods that makes us so happy. But there's a little bit of work we have to do just to get there. But once we're there, put the fire on, light a fire, and maybe bring some hot chocolate. And we just sit. So maybe that's what we'll evoke or work with in our loving kindness practice today. So to start, as part of the practice of creating the conditions in which we can abide, it can be helpful to take a posture that does two things. One, that it expresses our intention to be sensitive to our experience. It expresses a posture that expresses our intention to pay attention. And then the second thing, a posture that expresses care, softness, warm, maybe there's some coziness there. And this does take some practice to find just the right posture, or just maybe each time we sit, is there a way that we can adjust the way that we're sitting? Maybe it's rocking side to side so that we feel like we're balanced, or maybe it's adjusting the legs, getting an extra cushion, whatever it might be. And then we can just rest our attention on the sensations of breathing. What does it feel like to be breathing? What are the sensations associated with breathing? the movement of the abdomen, the movement of the chest, maybe the feeling of air going in and out of the nose. We'll just rest our attention here. Nothing in particular needs to be happening. We're just using the breath, noticing the in-breath and the out-breath as a landing place for the mind. It might be that the mind slips off the breath and is lost in thought. It's perfectly fine. We don't have to make that be a problem. Of course. Most likely you've been thinking all day, trying to get things done and going from one thought to the next. When you find that happening, just very simply, gently begin again. It might be that the sensations of breathing provide a rhythm that is soothing. Kind of how we rock ourselves sometimes when sitting in a rocking chair. So we're feeling the sensations, not so much thinking about the breath, more experiencing, sensing, feeling the breath. As the mind begins to settle, you might notice there are certain areas in the body that are calling your attention. Some tightness, some tension. What would it be like to bring your awareness to those areas with some kind-heartedness, with some warm-heartedness? Some subtle areas of tension might be around the eyes, around the mouth, maybe not so subtle around the shoulders, belly. We can use the body as support. It's always here. And it has a certain, maybe a different experience than what happens in the mind. Of course, the body is always in the present, not lost in stories. And this way, it can be a refuge for us. And then to begin our loving kindness practice. Bring to mind a being that's easy to feel warm-heartedness, care, respect, friendliness, kindness, love, benevolence, goodwill. Some people choose somebody they don't know, maybe a religious leader, spiritual leader, somebody who's had a big impact on your life, but maybe you don't know them. Some people choose somebody they know, have a relationship with. Some people choose kitten, puppies, and babies, like imaginary ones. And the guidelines are to choose beings that are easy to feel warm-heartedness towards, effortless, and to have it to be uncomplicated relationship with them if indeed you do know them. So having this lovable being in mind, might just check in with the body. Is there any sense of warmth or delight or kind of an inner type of smile? Whatever that means for you. And then as part of using this analogy that I used earlier, as part of our walking to that cozy cabin, you can say these phrases as a way to support the arising of loving kindness, help create the conditions in which loving kindness might arise, we might have access to it. So we can repeat these phrases while having the lovable being in mind. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Again, it can be helpful to use any feelings of warmth or spaciousness or well-being in the body as a support. Allowing it to nourish us, maybe be a foundation for our well-wishing. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. And we can expand this loving kindness to include ourselves. You can bring to mind the felt sense of yourself or an image of yourself in a way that evokes that inner smile. For some people, it's an image of an earlier version of themselves, a younger version. For some people, it's the sense of stability or connectedness of just sitting here. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. What would it be like to just abide, to dwell in this warm-heartedness? To acknowledge, allow, accept this capacity, this faculty that all of us have. To extend loving kindness to ourselves and to others. It might be that from time to time you need to refresh or tap into, again, the loving kindness. If so, you can just say the phrases again, or maybe use bodily experiences of warmth and spaciousness, or maybe just simply bring into mind a livable being. You can experiment, your trial and error, play, and find what supports you to abide in some warm-heartedness. Metta, loving kindness. It's a little bit maybe diffuse or subtle to tap into this feeling of warm-heartedness. But that doesn't mean that the mind can't do it. It's just, it might be a little bit different than what the mind usually lands on. Maybe the idea of radiating loving kindness is helpful. Or abiding in loving kindness. And of course, you can be cultivating loving kindness by saying the phrases too. Whichever feels the most supportive for you right now. Some people find it helpful to consider loving kindness as a warm, soft experience that's being shared. Here, this is a lovely experience. Why don't you have some too? That way, it's a feeling of generosity, open-handedness. What is it like to recognize that all of us have this capacity, this faculty for care, loving kindness, friendliness? You just have to allow it to be expressed. What is it like to have that kind of a perspective? We're just allowing something, not creating something. And then we abide, dwell. And then to end this meditation, feel your feet on the ground. And feel the pressure of the chair or the cushion against your body. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. So there are a number of ways, there's so many ways in which we can practice or approach or think about, teach, work with loving kindness. It's beautiful. I love this. And one way is to consider that we're just maybe moving things out of the way or help creating the conditions. And it's more about an allowing practice than a cultivating or developing practice. So with that, I did lead us through some using the phrases as a way to maybe move, get things out of the way that might be covering up or obfuscating the loving kindness that we might have. As opposed to maybe this idea that we have to create or develop. It's perfectly fine. Both of these orientations, perspectives, maybe one feels more comfortable than another perspective. Or maybe there's stages in our lives, stages in our practice, in which this idea of cultivation seems like the what feels right, versus the idea of just allowing what's already there to be expressed. Or maybe a third option is maybe it doesn't matter to even make this distinction. So it can be enormously helpful to maybe talk about these ideas, you know, as we kind of articulate them. Sometimes we don't even really understand or know, maybe I should say, our own ideas about this until we put words to it and say it out loud. So now I'd like to invite you to go into breakout rooms. And in these rooms, it's an opportunity to do some deep listening to others. All of us have tremendous amount of wisdom. So others have that we can learn from. But also it's an opportunity for us to kind of discover our own understanding, our own stance, our own interpretation or working with some of these ideas. So in the breakout rooms, you can either talk about what I'm just offering here, the distinction, which may be artificial. You can discuss that too, the distinction between cultivating as opposed to allowing, kind of different perspectives on this practice. Or you could just describe a little bit of how that practice was for you. Some of the experiences you had or some of the insights you had or something like this. So put you in groups of three or four, and you'll have, let's see here, about 12 minutes. And it's nice if one person doesn't do all of the talking, right? I don't have to say that, but you'll see the breakdown, the clock that's going down to zero. The words escape me at the moment. And you don't necessarily need to say everything that it's possible to be said in the first time it goes around. Hopefully you can speak a little bit, and then the second person, the third person, then the fourth person, and then it can go come back around again. So an opportunity to go around the circle a few times. Okay. So I'm going to open these rooms, and then I'll see you on the flip side. Bye. Nice. So welcome back, everybody. So we just have a few minutes. Would somebody like to share some insight or question or something about your experience, either in the meditation practice or in the group practice?
I'll say something. So I feel like I'm just starting to get meta a little bit. And when I say get meta, I mean I'm starting to feel something. It's not just words coming in my ears and going into my mind. One of the things that's been helping me, other than coming here and I go to Bhante G's meta sessions, is I'm in the process of memorizing the Metta Sutta, which has which is very soothing to me while I'm meditating. And then we both, I think everybody in my small group agreed that cultivation and allowing, we used both of them, but I liked the idea. It was suggested that allowing is less work, and that sounds good to me, because my meditation sometimes feels like hard work. So
nice. That's fantastic, Mary. Thank you for sharing both the Metta Sutta, and there's many different translations, but some of them, they have a really nice rhythm as well as the beautiful sentiment, the words that are in there. Yeah, it could be a great support for that. And this idea of less work. Yeah. Sometimes meditation is work. Let's be honest. Sometimes, you know, the mind is always slipping off, like, oh, okay, let's come back. And then we might have to remind ourselves, okay, can I come back in a warm-hearted way? Or can I stay here with what I'm doing instead of rehashing that conversation I had earlier or planning for the future, whatever it might be. But I appreciate that very much, Barry. Okay, it's 7:00. And Yasna, I see that you have your hand up. I'm going to allow those people who'd like to go at 7 to go, and I'll stay here and answer some more questions if you'd like, but I want to honor everybody's time. So if you'd like to go, may you have a wonderful rest of your evening. May you allow some love and safety and happiness and some ease to arise. Thank you. Thank you. And then, Yasna, if you wanted to ask a question.
Okay. Thank you. I was just wondering, it seems like, and I don't know, do I have a wrong impression that you are mainly focusing on loving kindness and Nikki is focusing more on compassion? Is that yeah. How it works?
We didn't plan it that way, but that's what's happening. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And it's not... I'll just say that, yes. I myself have a little more experience with loving kindness. So, and for me, the way that I understand loving kindness, that it'll just naturally be transformed into compassion when it meets suffering. So that's kind of the way that I'm holding it. But yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I just wanted to say that it was lovely to hear that it's, you know, that we can just allow it to be as opposed to cultivate. For me, that really hit the spot because I tend to overdo what I really care about, put too much effort in. And so this is a really nice alternative view that hopefully is going to allow me to be more to be a human being as opposed to be human doing.
Great. Thank you, Yasna. You know, this idea, I'll just say briefly about effort, like how much effort to put into our practice. And Barry mentioned about kind of like feeling like it's a lot of work. This is something that's always there with meditation. It's not like we once finally figure it out and then it's gone. It's sometimes we're doing it, maybe it feels like a little over-efforting, and then maybe there's a little under-efforting, and then maybe a little bit over. And this is just the art of meditation. It's just the way it is. Just the way it is.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I have a question about... So is there happy hour every day except for the weekend, or did it go away for a while? Or it seemed like I couldn't find it last week. I think it was.
Oh, is that right? You couldn't find it?
I was under the impression that it was just going to be Wednesday again.
Oh, yeah. So Nikki and I decided that at least till the end of May, which is, I think, one more week, it will be doing it Monday through Friday. And then Nikki's doing it Saturday mornings, too. If you're up for that, it's 7 a.m. Mm-hmm. And those YouTubes are, of course, that's also posted. And then we haven't decided exactly what's going to happen after that. We're going to check in with each other and see, like, what does this fit into what's unfolding in our lives and our schedules and stuff like this to be doing this. So you can keep an eye on the calendar, on the IMC calendar, and okay. We'll be posting it.
And thank you for all your time doing this. It's quite a commitment.
Yeah.
It's wonderful for us.
Yeah, isn't it nice, right? There's a community being created. We all come together. For me, it's a nice feeling.
I just wanted to give a shout out to my friend Michael. I told him about this group, and I hope he comes back.
Nice. Nice. I think, I of course have no idea how people find these things. We're not advertising them. So I think very exactly what you're doing is what happens. People tell somebody else, or maybe they Google or click on something, but find their way here.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here. And Barry did invite me. I live in Arlington, Virginia, and I went very deep and let go. So thank you very much.
Yes. I'm sorry, you said you live in Arlington?
Yes.
Yeah, I used to live in Washington, D.C. It's been many years now, too. So, Barry, I think you live in, I don't know if you live in the district or if you live in the area, but it has a...
Capitol Hill.
Okay. It has a soft spot in my heart, so I'm so happy to see you guys from there. Nice. Okay, so wishing you all a wonderful evening. Thank you very much.
Bye.
Thank you.